to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. And wow, this is such an exciting time we live in. I want to thank everybody out there that stopped by to see us at the Valley Forge Expo this weekend and at Expo East, all of the folks we met there. And we are getting ready to go to and do the Alive Expo in a couple of weeks. I want to make sure everybody knows that if you go to the Alive Expo website and you check out how to get your tickets, especially the free ones, that is because we are all about the giving. One of the things I want to say is many of you are asking about the holistic makeover. I am narrowing it down, and we will be making that announcement next week. So the process is moving forward, and let me just say, it has been a phenomenal event. You all are going to be blown away. There will not be any losers, so there'll be something for everyone. And I want to let you know that there are people that have stepped up all over the country and are giving special gifts to the folks that will be selected. We will be following the journey of four people over a three-month period. This is a makeover from the inside out, and on the very first day of that announcement, those folks will already have selected another person to pay it forward, and that person to pay it forward. So we are changing the issues, changing the vibration, and making sure that we keep fine-tuned as we go through what some people call one of the most difficult times in our country's history. What I would like to say, this is an opportunity for all of us to tune up whatever muscles we've got out there, whatever things that have been holding us back, to step out into the world. My guest today is all about that. I am so thrilled to be having this conversation today. It's a conversation that I don't think I've had the opportunity to have very many times. But I will tell you that one of the first things I ever wanted to do in my life was to become a lawyer. And that was before I even understood what that was. That's not the path that I've been directed towards. For whatever reason, there is something about law that fascinates me even to this day. But honestly speaking, that is something that fascinates people all over the world. I'm joined by Robert Desjardins, joining me here today. Practice law in Orange County, California, place that I'm very familiar with. He specialized in family law for more than 33 years. And so he's joining us here today because we're talking about what does it mean to be a trial lawyer, but more importantly, how do you become trial lawyer of the year, such as he's been? He also is past president of the family law section of the Orange County Bar Association. He has served as an editorial consultant of California Family Law Monthly and as a judge pro tem. And so first novel that he's put out in 2007, The Mistrial. And we're talking with him today about many issues, but most of all, what's going on with the judicial system? I think so many people are asking that question. Robert, thank you for joining us here today.
I'm just thrilled to be here.
Well, you know what? I mean, are we obsessed with the whole judicial thing? I mean, can we even create another law show on television, for example? I mean, everything is out there, whether it's Law and Order, Criminal Intent, you know, SVU. But we don't miss these shows, and then we watch the reruns. So the question is, how close to the truth are these shows?
That's a good question. I don't find them very factual at all, although I confess I really enjoy Boston Legal. It's far from the truth, but it's so entertaining that I'm addicted to it. But for years, I've never seen a show on television that I thought was actually factually based.
Well, but there are stories, and that's part of what you're here to talk about today. You know, it's hard for us to really even figure out what the truth is these days with the law system and how it works. And we've been doing in other shows. But to actually talk about judges who abuse the system, it's almost a taboo conversation to have. But then again, you're talking about that.
I think if you look nationwide, it's not uncommon to see on the news or reading the paper about some bizarre conduct of some judge. And their conduct is, if you were to write about it in fiction, it would be hard to believe. There have been stories recently about one judge who actually had a sex device under his robe while he was listening to trials. Other judges are berated. People who appear in front of them because of their ethnic background, they make fun of them. My biggest complaint of any judge are judges who don't like lawyers. And you'll see judges who treat lawyers badly. They forget that they once were lawyers themselves. So when I wrote A Darker Shade of Orange, which is my latest novel, I tried to portray judges, lawyers, and the law enforcement system in a realistic light. I tried to make them talk like lawyers. I tried to make them act like judges. And hopefully I've had some success in portraying the legal system as it really is in my recent novel.
Well, let's talk about the and congratulations, by the way, on your latest release. And that is A Darker Shade of Orange. What I want to ask you about that is, first of all, I'm absolutely, I'm intrigued by the cover. I'm intrigued by the title of the book. But this has some meaning for you, especially given your years of experience. Let's tell everyone a little bit about what this book is and why you were so inspired to write it.
A Darker Shade of Orange is about, and don't laugh, it's about an honest lawyer. And there are honest lawyers. And it's about a lawyer who gets caught up in the system between a corrupt sheriff and a corrupt judge, or a series of corrupt judges. I finished Darker Shade of Orange before our sheriff was indicted, who goes on federal trial this week for corruption charges. While I'd like to say it was independent of his misdemeanors and crimes, he inspired me to some extent to write A Darker Shade of Orange. I first got involved with the Orange County Jail approximately 33 years ago, when I represented the wife of a man who went into the jail to do a weekend for a drunk driving charge and never came out alive. We found him in a coma over at the local emergency hospital. He died several hours later. After investigating that story, we found out that he was actually beaten to death by sheriffs when he tried to intervene and save a Marine who was being beaten by the sheriffs. And for years, that story has kind of lingered in the back of my mind, and it kind of gave me the impetus to write A Darker Shade of Orange.
Well, and you know, these are fascinations we have. I shared at one point that I went to school down in California, happened to go down to, you know, to get my doctorate down in California during the first O.J. Simpson trial. And as part of my curriculum, believe it or not, we had to follow this trial. We actually were given our final passing exam in, the primary major of my degree based on the O.J. Simpson trial. Now, the question is, do you think that's a bit overboard, or do you think that particular trial, and I guess we could point to the Menendez brothers as well, do you think that these trials have really raised the bar on media attention that leads us to television, to movies? I mean, is this where it all started? How did we get to this place?
That's a darn good question. I wish I had a darn good answer for you. I like everybody else, was fascinated by the O.J. Simpson trial, despite having been in the legal profession for some generations. In fact, I draw a comparison in Shade, where I have my hero who goes through a criminal trial or criminal proceedings and then through a civil proceedings, very much like the O.J. Simpson scenario, where we have a civil trial coming on the heels of a criminal one, except in my instance, it's a state bar disbarment proceedings against the attorney. I'm not sure I'm responding to your question, but I do think the public fascination with the O.J. Simpson trial certainly caused a lot of these reality TV shows we see with Nancy Grace and other commentators, and it certainly has garnered the public's imagination for sure.
Well, you know, let me ask you another question, and I want to just mention to everyone, I'm so thrilled that Robert Desjardins is joining me here today. The book is A Darker Shade of Orange, and we're going to be talking about many, many things in this book. First of all, I just want to say congratulations. The reviews of this book are like out of the park. I mean, you know, you might as well be a player on the on the Phillies team right now. But there are questions that we look at. I mean, I think that the law has gotten our attention, but Robert, don't you also think that it's probably as the average citizen, we just don't really get it, do we?
As an average citizen, we all look up to law enforcement. We expect the police to do the right thing. We believe that the sheriff should do the right thing. We think that judges, we're always taught as children to honor and respect judges. And for the most part, our judges are fine people and they try and do a good job. But there are the rotten apples in the barrel that the public really doesn't get. You don't expect when you go into court to be treated badly by a judge if you're going in there for a family law matter. You don't expect to be humiliated by a judge if you go into court and you're not dressed properly. You don't expect to go into court and be humiliated by a judge because you put your hands in your pocket or you don't show the proper deference to the judge. And once again, I don't want to say all judges are bad. Most of them are good. But some of them, the public doesn't get it. They don't expect to be treated as badly as they are. And most of them find any experience with the judicial system to be an unpleasant one. Whether they win or lose, it's not going to be a pleasant experience. No, the public doesn't get it.
Well, and you know, I think for most of us, I probably wouldn't have spent as much time as I did paying attention to the O.J. Simpson trial, except for the fact it was going to determine whether I went on to do my Ph.D. research or not. And so, you know, at some level, we get to sort of sit in our living rooms and pay attention to this. And, you know, I know that what you've written here, as I said before, just incredible reviews about the book. The question that I want to ask you and address when we come back from break is a darker shade of orange. Are we ready for this book? And what I mean by that, are we ready for this in a way that will help us understand how to make good decisions when electing our judges? Is this a call for us to pay more attention? Stay tuned. We'll be right back with the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Author of A Darker Shade of Orange, Robert Desjardins. We'll be right back. A live expo joins the Dr. Pat Show in paying it forward. This is an idea whose time has come, and a live expo has stepped it up by offering free admission. It's the Alive Expo Economic Stimulus, Saturday and Sunday, November 8th and 9th at the Linwood Convention Center. Enjoy healthy lectures, fitness demos, sample natural and organic products, and receive tons of free product samples. Admission and parking is free. This is one event you don't want to miss, November 8th and 9th at the Linwood Convention Center. Visit AliveExpo.com.
Do you know of a single again woman who deserves a fresh start? Tell us why you think your friend deserves to win a 3-night Royal Caribbean cruise to the Bahamas. Join us for a wellness getaway cruise for single again women from February 6th through February 9th. Enjoy uplifting workshops in the morning and beautiful white sandy beaches in the afternoon. Call today. Go to justgirltrips.com/fresh start or call 877-239-2950.
Hey, are you one of those people who need a boost of motivation to lose those extra pounds and inches? Well, here it is. Take the Sugar-Free Miracle Weight Loss Challenge and earn $100 for every 10 pounds you lose. I'm Karen Bentley, creator of the amazing Sugar-Free Miracle Diet, which you'll love. It's easy, sustainable, and it stops out-of-control eating. To participate, send me an email at expert@sugarfreemiracle.com. That's expert@sugarfreemiracle.com, and I'll send you the details.
Visit the premier online store where science and spirit unite. Shop consciously, explore new ideas, and connect with your world at bleepstore.com. Find the latest in spiritual and documentary films, green living products, and online articles. Dr. Pat listeners receive 10% off with coupon code Dr. Pat. That's D-R-P-A-T at checkout. Go to the drpatshow.com and click on Bleep Store to start your experience. The drpatshow.com.
Do you have questions about a job, finances, or relationships? Astrologer Madeline Gerwick is offering special 30-minute personal consultations about love, money, or career for just $85. Visit PolarisBusinessGuides.com or call Madeline at 877-524-8300 to schedule. Go to PolarisBusinessGuides.com. That's P-O-L-A-R-I-S BusinessGuides.com. So stop wondering and start asking.
Join Mystic Radio with Robin Alexis on Sundays at noon as metaphysical mother and TV personality Robin Alexis helps countless people around the globe to live fuller and more conscious lives. She serves you using her gifts as a medium, medical intuitive, past life reader, and more. Get your free on-air readings with Robin Alexis every Sunday at noon, and now hear rebroadcasts of Mystic Radio Wednesdays at 1 p.m. and Thursdays at 8 p.m. right here on Alternative Talk 1150.
More choices, more topics, more shows, one station. Alternative Talk 1150 a.m.
Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. A Darker Shade of Orange. What an interesting title for a book, but not a surprise. This is an award-winning book. It's an editor's choice, a book. And my very special guest today, Robert Desjardins, is joining me here to talk about the book, but more importantly, what the book stands for. You know, what is inside this book that will help us understand A, what our current judicial system is about, and B, what we need to know as average everyday citizens. Robert, thank you so much for joining us here today on the show. And I expressed a concern or a question mark around how we can best learn about the judges that we elect in our system. And I was sharing during the break that I had my ballot for election that I was filling out. And as I went through, I noticed there were, I can't remember exactly how many, but there were a lot of judges that were on the ballot. And I thought, before I just start checking the box, I need to find out more about them. What I realized was, A, it was difficult to find out more about them, and B, it was important to find out more about them. And so what have you discovered along the way that could help us understand a little bit more about our own system, but a little bit smarter, getting a little bit smarter about this?
Well, I had a recent experience. One of my classmates in law school was running for judge. And the way judges are appointed in California, not too dissimilar to the rest of the country, is that the governor appoints you to the bench, and then you have to stand for election every 6 years. And if you have a Republican governor, he appoints Republican attorneys. If you have a Democratic governor, he appoints Democratic attorneys. And generally, they'll look to the district attorney's office as their training ground for the judges. And while everybody loves district attorneys, and that we see them portrayed as defenders of right and the pursuers of wrongdoers, our district attorney's office here in Orange County has produced some of the finest attorneys in private practice and some of the biggest scoundrels that you've ever seen, and probably more good attorneys than bad attorneys. And I guess I have somewhat of a axe to grind against the fact that if when they run for election, if on their ballot designation, if they say former district attorney and the other designation is civil attorney, the deputy district attorney is going to be elected every time. I recently had an experience where one of my classmates ran to be elected as a judge, and he had outstanding credentials. He ran an outstanding campaign. He was endorsed by many, many people, and he ran against a fine attorney. Incidentally, he ran against a former district attorney or a deputy district attorney who all they did was list his credentials, and he won by a landslide. So the public has a perception to go to a deputy district attorney for a judge, and that's fine. Except that our system consists of civil law, criminal law, family law, and unless you get somebody with a broad background of information, you're not going to get a judge who has enough experience to really weigh in on important issues. I don't want to lecture too much, but I know how much the public loves things that the French people do. but in France, they have a different system the way they have judges that they make judges. When a student goes to law, they can either go to law school and he can get on a track to be an advocate, or he can get on a track to be a judge. So he starts off from day one with a path to become a judge someday in the future, and he's kind of removed from the political system, and he's trained to be a judge. And you don't see too many scandals coming out of France involving their judges. In Canada, they've also removed it from the political system, and judges are appointed either by by provincial government or national government, and they don't stand for election. They don't have to take political positions. I think that factor, taking the politics out of it, makes it a big factor in getting an independent judiciary. In California, the judges, once they're appointed to the bench, they have to go to a judge's college for a couple of weeks. And I think that's a good step in the right direction, but a couple of weeks does not a judge make, in my mind.
Well, there you go. I don't know if they sit them in front of some reruns of Law and Order or something like that. But, you know, it's an important issue. And I want to say this. In the state of Washington, for example, I believe it was the Seattle Weekly, mid-October, I'm trying to remember now, they did an article, and the article was called The Way We Elect Judges is a Sham. And so this article goes on to talk about judges that were elected over the summer that people didn't even know about and how that happened. But what I loved about this, and this is what I said to you earlier, that I had my ballot in front of me and I was trying to find things, and I found this article. But what I found in the article, whether I agreed with it or not, wasn't the most important part. If you read on, what they do online version is they give you links so that you can find out more about the judges. I mean, is this process of electing a judge, which is extremely important, is the process one of non-disclosure in that we don't get presented with information. We don't have debates. You know what I'm saying? We don't hear much about who the candidates are. And it's kind of a little odd for me because they carry so much power. Or am I just kind of an idealist here, Robert?
I don't think you're an idealist at all, but I don't know how you solve that problem, because I would not want to see a system where judges had to take their positions and run on their positions, such as, This is what I would do in this particular case. You don't want people to go in there with prejudged conceptions. But what you want is somebody who has a history of knowing the law, studying the law, being experienced and having done different types of cases, having done civil cases, having done criminal cases, having done family law cases, and has a history of integrity. I think it would be helpful if a candidate for judge had to show whether there was any discipline charges ever brought against them. They'd have to come clean with their record, whether they have a criminal record or a record of misdemeanor. There's so many judges. This is one of my pet peeves. There are so many judges who get arrested for driving under the influence. It's a large percentage. If 1 or 2% is a large percent for that, I think there's at least that in California. So I think you're right. Disclosure. What is a person's training? What kind of cases have they handled? Have they ever had any discipline against them? Those are all important things as opposed to what they would do with a particular case. Does that answer your question, Pat?
Well, it does. And you know, what I'm so fascinated about is what we would change, what we would do differently. And, you know, is it that each state has its own process, Robert, of how they go about this? Or is this under federal jurisdiction?
All state judges are handled through are generally appointed by the governor, or you have to run for election within your state. Federal judges are an entirely different breed of cat. Federal judges are appointed for life. They don't have to stand for election. It's a very, very powerful position to be appointed as a federal judge. You have almost as much power as a U.S. senator. And those people are very, very carefully vetted. They go through extreme scrutiny, and they all have to be eventually approved by the United States Senate. Although we have had our fair share of federal judges that are a little bit wacky, and there's always a little political background for them to be appointed. But once they're appointed, they're appointed for life, and they can truly be independent if they have the right character.
Well, what was interesting, one of the questions that came up in the presidential debates had to do with the appointment of the judge to the Supreme Court. And I'm not sure. I think I was listening to the debate, but I don't know that I heard an answer directly. But did you find that was an appropriate question to ask in a presidential debate?
Absolutely. I think that the power that the next president will have to appoint members to the U.S. Supreme Court, it will far outlive anything else that they do. We have perhaps three appointments that will come up in the next 4 to 8 years, which will vastly affect the way the U.S. Supreme Court is constituted right now. We have a four majority in favor of the conservative viewpoint, and that that's going to change one way or the other. It's either going to become much more conservative, or it's going to become a little bit more to the left. And,
To the middle, and
that'll affect a lot of big issues. It'll affect abortion, it'll affect immigration, it'll affect things, the tax law. That certainly is an appropriate question in a presidential debate from my viewpoint.
Well, you know, let's take a break here because we've got so much to talk about. I've got like all my questions here lined up, and I hope I'm not taxing Robert too much here on the show. I mean, this is an area for most of us, unless you have had a friend or family member incarcerated. It's an area that we don't really pay much attention to. However, it seems like this is a growing area of interest for so many people. I am thrilled to have Robert Desjardins on the show today. The book is A Darker Shade of Orange, and you can go to his website, which we'll give you in a minute, and first of all, check out everything there, but also, this is how you can find out more information. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk about, first of all and foremost, are we in a time where the state bar is an effective tool against lawyer misconduct? We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Paul McCormick, and you've probably heard me talk on the Dr. Pat Show about how to be wealthy and to be happy all at the same time. Well, guess what? I just wrote a new book called Secrets of the Millionaire Inside, and I want you to have this book so much that here's what I'm doing. During the months of September and October, I'm offering a special promotion on my website where if you go to the stores and buy the book, then I'll give you absolutely free 6 CDs full of information. Check out my website, formulaformillionaires.com.
Are you the owner or manager of a struggling small business? Do you feel alone in your battles? The Small Biz Sherpa can help. Do you want to increase sales or decrease costs? Do you wish your employees were more motivated or cared as much as you do about the bottom line? Call the Small Biz Sherpa. Learn how you can change your company's fortunes by involving and engaging your staff. Create bonus and incentive programs that pay your people more while improving your bottom line. The Small Biz Sherpa has done it himself, and now he'll show you how to do it too. Visit smallbizsherpa.com or call 206-505-9752. That's smallbizsherpa.com. Small, B-I-Z-Sherpa.com.
Be sure and sign up for the Dr. Pat Show newsletter so you can find out about the latest guests, events, promotions, and giveaways. Visit thedrpatshow.com and register now.
New Spirit Journal helps readers create abundance in all areas of their lives. Their articles don't just talk about theories that sound nice. They give you practical information you can use to turn those theories into practice. Available at over 500 locations in Washington and Idaho, New Spirit Journal is more than just a newspaper. It's your guide to the life you want to live. New Spirit Journal can also be read online at newspiritjournal.com.
Whether you're female or male and you're feeling just not quite right, your hormones may be out of balance or depleted. For a comprehensive assessment and to discuss the safe and effective bioidentical natural hormone therapy, visit the bioidentical hormone specialist, Dr. Darvish and her staff at Holistique Medical Center in Bellevue. Call 425-451-0404. Visit Holistique at drdarvish.com. That's drdarvish.com.
Tune in your radio to hear Carrie O'Connor, master visionary, medium, and clairvoyant, as she uses her amazing psychic gifts to help you step into your divine power and begin to create the life of your dreams. Carrie will read your unique energy field, connecting you with the treasures of your soul, your passions, and your true life purpose. Don't miss Carrie's weekly astounding and energetic predictions. Fasten your seatbelt as you take a wild ride with Carrie O'Connor. Mondays at 11 a.m. Pacific. Listen live at thedrpatshow.com.
1150kknw.com. Your connection to Alternative Talk, 1150 a.m.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back. First of all, the book is incredible, A Darker Shade of Orange. And having a conversation with Robert today is, for me, it is an eye-opener in so many ways. Robert, I want to thank you for joining us here today. Let's take a minute to talk about the book, what the contents are, where you began your journey in putting this book together. And, you know, what is it like to be a character in this book and sort of go from beginning to end?
It's funny. All books have hooks, how you get the book started. And I love the hook. I have to take a little self-pride here. I love the hook in this book because it's based upon a conversation that I had with some friends of mine at a local watering hole. And to give you kind of the start, my hero, Dennis, he's a soul practitioner, and he gets his hugest contingency fee case he's ever had, and he gets assigned to the worst possible judge there is, a universally hated judge, and he's already used his bullet. The bullet is you have a right to refuse one judge one time, and after you do that, you're stuck with whoever you get. So he's already used his bullet, and he's assigned this great case, and he knows it's going to turn into caca from this point forward. And he goes to a bar and he's having a drink with a friend and he says, "Where is Lee Harvey Oswald when we need him?" Totally inappropriate comment, but it was said tongue in cheek. And the judge gets blown away that night, and he of course becomes a focus of suspicion because of that comment. And then the evidence just piles up against him from all circumstances, and he's been framed, and he realizes he's been framed, and he has to fight his way out of it through the judicial system and through the state bar system. And it's funny you were asking about before the break whether the state bar system is an effective system for disciplined judges. And parallel to that, we also have the state judiciary system that removes judges who have been inappropriate or aren't functioning properly. And we have a little experience with both of those in A Darker Shade of Orange, where the judge who gets murdered was the focus of an investigation into his activities. And we deal a little bit of how the judiciary system removes judges. And they police themselves. They don't really do an outstanding job of policing themselves, the judges. To give you an example, we had a recent experience where one judge was removed from the bench for filing a false expense report, $200. Uh-huh. And she got removed from the bench. It's not a proper thing to do. And not the kind of role model you want to put forth for younger people. But removing her from the bench over a $200 fraction, I thought was a little bit over the line. We had another judge who was running a rental business from his courtroom. He had rental properties. He had his bailiff sending out delinquent notices and running this type of business. And tenants would receive letters on the judicial stationery saying you're behind on your rent. Totally inappropriate. Now, that's something somebody should be removed from the bench. He got a slap on the wrist. So it's very, that judicial system, the judicial review is very politicized. The state bar, on the other hand, moves very, very slowly when complaints are brought against lawyers, but they move effectively. And if the crime or action of the lawyer is severe enough, he can be suspended from the practice of the law even before he goes through a state bar disciplinary hearing. And these hearings are interesting. Am I talking too much, Pat?
No, I'm sitting on the edge of my seat. I want to hear this story.
The state bar proceedings are conducted, but the judges, once again, we get back to judges. The judges in the state bar proceedings are appointed, and they could be somebody that has just a few years' experience in the bar, or somebody who's a retired judge who brings a lot to the hearing. So, and that varies quite a bit. But our state bar system removes probably several hundred attorneys a year because of misconduct. It suspends hundreds of attorneys. And I think they do a very effective system, except they move far too slow. And in my book, A Darker Shade of Orange, my hero goes to a state bar proceeding, which is kind of unique, and the book kind of turns on what happens at that hearing, how he discovers who the true culprit in the murder of the judge really was.
What, And, you know, this is really for many people. We go through and we look at the people that we either elect or people that get appointed, but most of the time we don't really look. I mean, you know, had I not known, Robert, that I was going to interview you today, and this is like true confessions, I mean, you know, taking a look at the first of all, both of the books that you've written, but today we're talking about A Darker Shade of Orange, but there's also The Mistral. I call it The Mistral, but it's not. It's The Mistral, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah.
Being an Italian, you should know what the Mistral is.
Yes, I do. But when we look at this, we don't pay attention. So it's let's call it serendipity, let's call it whatever, preparing for today's show and having my ballot in front of me. And, you know, as I look at this, I was more conscious this year. I spent more time looking at the judges on the ballot probably than I've ever spent in my life. But I will say one thing. What I learned from this, and I really thank you for this, what I've learned from this process is that, first of all, I think we need to find out more about what we're doing and not just check a box, whether we like somebody's name or whether it's a party affiliation. There's lots of information to gather. And I wanted to ask you, you know, what is the greatest challenge right now, in your opinion, for well-qualified lawyers to get elected to the judicial system?
Wow. The greatest challenge is that if you're not a former or existing deputy district attorney, you got a steep hill to climb, because the public is going to lock in on that designation, deputy district attorney, and they're automatically going to go and try and vote for that. So how does someone overcome that? I get that they have to get out in the public and talk to as many people as they possibly can, and talk about their credentials and talk about what they've done in the past and how they can bring an independent and knowledgeable mind to the bench. But I truly don't have an answer, Dr. Pat, as to how somebody can overcome the system. You have to reform the system, and reforming the system, like everything else, will take a long period of time. So I'm not sure. I'm not sure I'm truly responding, but I'm not sure I got a good answer for you.
Well, you know, it's for me, it's an interesting one. It's an interesting question, because I think that all of us realize how important it is, for many of us to pay attention to the judicial system in a way that, you know, we've not before. I mean, we're taught in school, aren't we, Robert? I mean, we're taught in school that judges are impartial, right? They're fair.
Yep.
And yet, on the one hand, we're taught these things. On the other hand, now, we're faced with sort of the pop culture of things. And so the question really is, what's the best way for us to make a good decision about the people we put in these offices?
Absent hearing the person speak, absent having seen them in action, you have to rely upon referrals. And I'll have people that will call me, non-attorneys, non-legal people, who will call me and say, Bob, we have a judicial candidate election in my district coming up next month, and there's candidate A and candidate B. Who do you recommend I vote for? And so they're at least asking somebody within the system who they should vote for. And I think that's one thing you can do. You can talk to lawyers. You know, contrary to public opinion, lawyers are good people. 97% of lawyers or more are good, honest, hardworking people. And if you ask somebody, a friend, we all know an attorney, if you ask them what they think about this person, you'll get an honest answer generally. And if they don't know about the person, then they can look at a lawyer can look at the candidate's statement of credentials and say, well, I think you should vote for this guy because he has this type of background, or you should vote for this woman because she's belonged to these organizations and she's championed these causes and these are good people. And that's so one way is talk to somebody within the system. That's probably the best and easiest way to make a good decision.
Well, and the reason I'm asking these questions is because, like I said now, you know, you're giving me a little information here. I'm almost dangerous around this, Robert. I'm telling you. But I went in and I looked at the Washington Supreme Court, for example. I'll tell you, I will never be the same. And I looked at this, and here's what I found. And maybe you could shed some light on this for me, because I didn't even know how this works. It says, and I'll read this to you. It says that we have, there are elected to six-year terms by voters. Okay, so in case, folks, you didn't know this, this is what it's telling me. Supreme Court justices are elected to six-year terms by voters throughout the entire state. There are 9 Supreme Court justices, and Washington residents will vote for 3 in 2008. So I read that. Now, here's the other thing I read, Robert. It said each of the 3 incumbent justices who ran for re-election this year received more than 50% of the ballots cast in the primary election. Accordingly, each of them will appear unopposed on the November 4th general election ballot. Can you explain that to me?
No. I can't. Well, California has a similar deal where okay. The judges have to stand for, the Supreme Court justices have to stand for election every 6 years, and they generally run unopposed because they're generally appointed in the first place. But I'm not familiar with Washington law that says that if somebody receives over 50% of the primary, that they run unopposed. That sounds like the primary is the election.
Well, that's what I thought. But you see, again, this is more information that I think all of us are gathering to get to the place where we understand how important this is. And I wanted to ask you this question before we go to break. The question is, you know, are we missing an opportunity by sort of rubber stamping folks that are running for judicial positions, for judges? I mean, how important is this? What, Robert, do we have to lose by not paying more attention? Let's take a short break. When we return, I know I'm asking Robert a lot of questions that are probably not in the book, but Robert Desjardins joining me here today. The book is A Darker Shade of Orange. I will tell you, folks, I have learned more about judges in Washington State than I have ever thought I would in my lifetime. And it's because of the questions and the opportunities that Robert presents in his book. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Are you looking for a unique place to book your holiday party? Here's a hot tip. The new Zenai Center in Bellevue. Zenai's co-founder and private celebrity chef, Curtis Ross, will serve you and your guests delicious, healthy cuisine and conscious cocktails in 4,000 square feet of beautiful, sustainable open space. Contact Zenai at 425-457-7665 or visit zenaicenter.net. That's ZENAICenter.net.
MBSConnect.com, Mind, Body, Soul Connect, is an innovative and interactive wellness resource company. The mission of MBS Connect is to help America be well by providing easy access to progressive programs, products, and providers. MBS Connect is building networks of wellness providers nationwide using all types of modalities who want to be part of the wellness revolution. To find a provider in your area, call 888-398-9287 or visit MBSConnect.com.
Did you know that nearly 60,000 dogs and cats are euthanized every year in Western Washington? Posado's Safe Haven Space Station, a state-of-the-art mobile vet clinic, travels to the areas that need help the most. Posado's is reducing the number of unwanted animals by making spaying and neutering easy, safe, and inexpensive. To check the space station schedule or to read more, please visit PosadosSafeHaven.org. That's PASADOSafeHaven.org.
Be the first to join your favorite Hay House authors on the next I Can Do It at Sea. Come aboard a luxurious cruise ship and meet Greg Braden, Brian Weiss, Sonia Choquette, and many more. The 7-night cruise to Alaska on July 11th through 18th, 2009 includes soul-nourishing workshops, spiritual cinema movies in your cabin, autograph sessions, and amazing ports of call. This is a vacation you'll never forget. Cabins are limited. Reserve today. HayHouse.com.
Shree is the new high-quality liquid nutritional drink that was scientifically formulated with the sacred superfruit called amalaki and 6 other herbs rich in antioxidants and vitamin C. An ancient Sanskrit word, Shree, spelled Z-R-I-I, means light, luster, prosperity, and heavenly vitality, and is endorsed by the Chopra Center for Well-Being. After months of intense development and testing, a world-class team of physicians and nutrition scholars developed what they believe to be a product unlike any other the world has seen. Nutritionist Renee Marie wants to introduce Cherie's powerful nutritional drink to you today. For more information, call 877-553-9744. Visit reneemarie.mycherie.com. That's reneemarie.mycherie.com.
For the people, by the people. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back to the Dr. Pat Show. For more information about us and for more information about Robert, you could go to our website, which is www.thedrpatshow.com. But to get a copy of Robert's book and to find out more about him, Robert, what's the best way for folks to do that?
I think they just went to my website, which is desjardinsauthor.com, desjardinsauthor.com. It talks about my books and where you can order them and all about both of them.
Great. And then we also, on the Dr. Pat homepage, we also have a link there about this show and about Robert. So lots of ways for you to find out about this book. Now, this book is available pretty much everywhere, right?
Currently, it's available on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com. It's not in the bookstores just yet. It was just released.
I know. It's hot. We got this hot conversation. And we were talking before, we were talking at the break and also before the break. And I think that there are a couple questions that I want to ask you about the book and about what people should know. What should people learn? Clearly, the Internet has played a role. I just shared with you that since I got a copy of the book, I knew I was doing this interview. I've been all over the Internet to help me vote in the right direction. But what is the big picture here, Robert?
About the Internet?
And the book.
I was sharing with you off the air about this Internet site I came across where somebody had pointed me to where it purportedly lists the worst judges in the United States. And I went to the website to look at it. Out of the top five, or the bottom five judges, if you will, that they list for being the worst judges in the country, two of them were right here in Orange County. And strangely enough, both of them were family law judges. And both of them, in my estimation, are two of the finest judges that we have in the county. So it's interesting how the Internet could be used as a weapon as opposed to a tool for learning. So if a person in Orange County were to go and check these judges out and say, oh, my God, I've been assigned to this judge, this is terrible, and they were then to try to avoid that judge, they would be doing themselves a disservice. So while the Internet's a powerful tool, it can also be very misleading, as it was in this particular case.
And you and I were talking about that because I want to mention to everyone in the state of Washington, if you're listening from the state of Washington, many of you are listening from other states, but I would encourage you to find a website that represents good information. The place that I happened to find it, is called VotingForJudges.org. VotingForJudges.org. And if you go to this website, you can really take a look at all the candidates, everything they do, and it tells you that that VotingForJudges.org includes rating and endorsements from numerous organizations. They do not rate or endorse candidates. So what you're getting here is information from other places. But I think, Robert, as you said, we don't really know where those other places, what they are, what they come from. You know, as we look at all the different things we talked about today, I've got to ask you, what is on your top three things that all of us as average citizens, what are the most important things for us to pay attention to right now, know about, and get involved in?
As far as the judiciary?
Yep.
I think you need to know how your judges get to be judges, whether they're elected or appointed, and get involved. And when an election comes up, to ask your friends in the legal system about who's the best candidate so that you can cast an intelligent vote. And I think that's the number one step in the same thing in law enforcement. I think you need to have transparency in law enforcement. You need to know how your sheriff or how your chief of police is appointed, what their credentials are, what agenda that they bring to the table, and how transparent are they in their major decisions so that you can be, as a citizen, can get involved. Does that answer your question, Pat?
I think part of the conversation is for all of us that there's so much information to absorb. There's so much that we could do. There's so much that we could say. And, you know, Robert, you've written a fabulous, fabulous book, and there's so many people that are going to enjoy it and learn from it. If nothing else for me, just preparing for this show has opened up an entirely new door, another complete way of looking at this. And so I want to thank you for doing that. You know, what's the bigger vision for you, Robert? What's next on your list of things to do?
I'm going to continue writing. I got a couple of projects in mind. I have one, it's kind of a takeoff based upon the fundamental Latter-day Saints episode in Texas, which I'm going to have a little fun with and mix in with some experiences I've had in New Mexico and Arizona. So I'm looking for that's my next project. I'm beginning to work on that right now, and I'm also very busy promoting Darker Shade of Orange and still practicing law. So I'm relatively busy right now, and I've really had a lot of fun talking with you, Pat. You've tested me, and you've asked me some tough questions, and you obviously know your field real well.
Well, I will say this, you know, I know I had that dream early on to be a lawyer, and I look back at that. I just think that, you know, it is probably these days one of the most difficult professions to be in for a lot of reasons. That's my opinion. And whenever someone like yourself comes to the surface and is willing to talk about it and willing to help us understand more about the judicial system and more about judges, this is truly a gift. I mean, it's been a pleasure to talk with you today. And is there hope for our judicial system?
Absolutely. I think there are many, many fine people within the system. And the more the public gets involved, the better system we'll have.
Well, you know, I'm right here with you. One of the things I want to say is thank you so much. We so love the book. I'd love to be able to, you know, send a link out in our future emails that we send out. Robert, thank you so much for joining us today. What is your personal message for our listeners?
Just keep listening to the Dr. Pat Pacelli show. It's a good show. I've enjoyed it. I also listened to your show last week. I had it streamed to me in Hawaii, and I loved it, and I think it provides a great service for the people in the Northwest.
Well, I hope to meet you when I get down to Orange County, which I'll be in January doing a few really cool things. So thank you, Robert. Thank you so much for joining the show today.
Thank you, Pat. Bye-bye.
A great conversation, and I have to tell you, Benny, I mean, being able to prepare for today's show and then at the same time have the ballot in front of me, I couldn't just check off the boxes. I needed to find out more about who these folks were and why they were running, what were they about. And to be able to do that from a nonpartisan point of view, to find out what people represented. And so I'm so grateful for Robert to, first of all, write a very intriguing book out that we talked about today. And for all of us, as we get ready to make some decisions about who to vote for, why to vote for them, I hope that you heard something today that will make you do a little bit of checking there before you get down the ballot and you go take a look at some of the folks that you're getting ready to vote for. We're so thrilled to have Robert join us today and so thrilled about doing this show at a very important time in our political history. So I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. If you want to find out more about the Dr. Pat Show, you want to get a copy of this interview, if you've missed any part of it, please check it out on our website, www.thedrpatshow.com. And the other thing that I want to mention is that for those of you that didn't catch all of this, you can certainly get it in our archives and through iTunes. We've got a lot planned for you over the next couple months. We're very grateful for all of you that tune in each and every day, and we promise to deliver. thank you so much for joining us today. Benny, wasn't this like a really cool show?
Oh, man, it was right on point, and I learned a lot about the judicial system, that's for sure.
Well, I couldn't believe that I was like looking at my ballot, right, because I'm out of state right now, mm-hmm. and, you know, I'm just, and then I have this interview coming up, and I thought to myself, I don't even know these judges. Why don't I know them?
Yeah.
And so this is really kind of fun, mm-hmm. you know, for me to be having this. But more importantly, I know I'm making some informed
decisions.
Right,
you got to do your homework, that's for sure.
You bet. Don't touch that dial. Guess what? Kerry O'Connor coming right up. I got to hang out with Kerry a little bit this weekend, but she's joining Benny in a fabulous show. We'll see you all back here tomorrow.